Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here. We do have those who have been gone traveling who are back with us. We're thankful that you are here. We have those who are visiting, and we're glad for your presence as well. One quick announcement connected to VBS. Micah wanted me to let everyone know she will be up here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If anyone wants to come and help hang stuff, you're welcome to come up here and help with that. And so that will be at 2 o'clock. This afternoon. Also want to once again thank everyone who filled in over the course of the last couple of weeks with me being at camp, and then this past Wednesday night when Stephen filled in when I was speaking over at Alamo. And so I appreciate all of those individuals. I've started listening through the sermons. I always like to go back and just and listen to the sermons and the lessons when I'm gone, and I've started listening to those. I told Dr. Hunt that I got to hear his, and he did a great job. And I have no doubt the other ones that I listen to will be the same. And I appreciate very much the men who are willing to step up and to help in that capacity. In John chapter 19, Jesus has already been suffering, but now the suffering begins to intensify. In John 19 and verse 1, we read the fact that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. In verse 6, we read that when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." In verses 16 and 17, we see him being delivered over to be crucified. We see him being taken to Golgotha, where he will be nailed to a cross. But amidst all of that pain and suffering, against the weight of sin bearing down upon him, there is a remarkable statement made by him in connection to his mother. And we're in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. "But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sisters Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home." In the middle of all of this, everything that is going on, the culmination of all that Jesus came to do, Luke 19:10 tells us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Here he is on the cross making that happen, but yet he pauses in the midst of all of that with concern for his earthly mother. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21 that, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Even though he was the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. And as a result, he was a child at one time. And he had responsibility toward his parents." And that's what I want us to look at this morning as we close this series of looking at the home. We've looked at mothers and fathers. We've talked about marriage and noticed the responsibilities of husbands and wives. But we close out by looking at what it means to be a godly child. Now, it might seem like this sermon does not apply to many of us. As such, couldn't be further than the truth, because this sermon applies to almost everyone. First, it applies to parents and grandparents, because it is our responsibility to teach our children and grandchildren their responsibilities. Second, it applies to children who are still living at home, because it talks about how you are to live in order to be pleasing to God. But thirdly, it applies to those who have living parents, even if they are not living at home anymore, because there are still some things that are owed our parents even at that point in our life. We are all children to one degree or another. And we all have responsibilities both to earthly parents, but most importantly and ultimately, we have a responsibility to our Heavenly Father. And as we look at the responsibilities of children, we want to notice three things that's found in God's Word that children are to do in relation to their parents. 3 points. Number one, a godly child heeds. A godly child heeds. Children have a responsibility to heed. That is, to obey their parents. Such was true under the Old Testament. It was part of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. It was one of those commandments that was handed down to Moses. In fact, under the Old Testament law, disobedient children could be stoned to death. I would bear to say there would be a lot less children in America today if that law was still in effect. Proverbs 13:1 though says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." And we know that Jesus listened to his father and his mother since he lived without sin under that Old Testament law. But such is also true when we come to the New Testament. Not the stoning part, but the obedience part. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The sister letter in Colossians 3 and verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Such commandments are easy enough to understand. Obedience is not a tough concept. You're told to do something, you do it. Yet even as adults, sometimes we struggle with obeying others and obeying God. We rationalize why we're not going to do something that we're told to do. We make up excuses for why our way is better than God's way. We make up excuses as children for why our way is better than our parents' way. But notice the verse does not say, "Children, obey your parents when it is convenient." The verse does not say, "Children, obey your parents when you want to." The verse does not say, "Children, obey your parents when what they want you to do coincides with what you want to do." No, that's not what the verse says. The verse says simply, obey. And there are two reasons given in those passages for why we should do this. First off, it says, "For this is right." It's proper. It is the natural order of things. It is correct. Children are to obey parents, not the other way around. But of course, all you have to do is go to the local Walmart, and you will find the exact opposite of that playing out. It's a sad state in the world when it is the fact that parents obey their children instead of, as God has said, children obeying their parents. The Bible says, "For this is right," but also, "For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Not only is it proper, but it is pleasing to God. Children, if you want to be pleasing to God, if you want to be pleasing to Christ, then obey your parents. Grandparents, legal guardians, whoever it may be that is in that position of authority in your home, the Bible says that children are to obey those individuals. But also notice a qualification. The phrase, "in the Lord." Some have said that this means that if they are not Christian parents, then they do not have to obey them, but that's not a correct interpretation of that phrase. The phrase, "in the Lord," is an adverbial phrase. It does not modify parents, which is a noun. An adverb has to modify. I know I'm going to English class, but you know what an adverb modifies. It modifies a verb, right? So the phrase "in the Lord" doesn't modify parents, but it modifies the verb "obey." The obedience is to be in the Lord. In other words, as long as what your parents tell you to do does not conflict with what God tells you to do, then you are to obey them. Just so we're clear, cleaning your room does not conflict with anything within the Word of God, okay? As we think about our responsibility as children, as we think about what God's Word has said that a godly child will do, number one this morning, a godly child heeds. Number two, a godly child honors. A godly child honors. Back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it talks about obeying our parents. But in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." To honor one's parents is to give them the respect that they are due. I was listening one time to a radio personality that deals with relationship problems, and the call was about a young girl And when I say young, I'm talking about not even, I think she was a preteen. She wasn't even into her teen years. But she wanted to date. And the parents said, no, absolutely not. And the mom and the daughter called into the show to find out, you know, what this individual thought about this. And the radio personality spoke to the child and said, I tell you what, if you want to date, you can date. Here's what you need to do. Move out, get a job, pay your own bills, cook your own food. You do all those things on your own, and then you can date whenever you want to. And in that statement, I believe we see some great reasons for why our parents deserve honor and respect. Because they take care of us. Even later in life, even after we're grown, we're out of the house, still in many cases, it is the fact that those parents do what they can to take care of their children. I think about my mom. My mom does a garden every year. And I think she honestly believes that if she does not send a cooler full of vegetables to us, that we will starve to death. What's she doing? She's still trying to take care of us. In Matthew 15:4, Jesus said, "For God commanded to honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother shall surely die." This is Jesus speaking, so obviously he practiced what he preached. We know that we are to honor parents, but how do we do that? How do we show that honor? Let me give you four brief things. Number one, you honor your parents by showing them respect. You honor your parents by showing them respect. You might not always agree with your parents. In fact, there might be areas in which you strongly disagree with them, but you don't have to be disagreeable. They are your parents. They took care of you. They continue to do so. And as a result, they deserve respect for that. A second way that we honor our parents is by not talking bad about them. Don't run your parents down to others. Are there times when my parents have done something that aggravates me? Well, yes. Have I ever talked to Micah about those things? Yes. But I don't run them down in that discussion. A third thing that you can do is let them know that you appreciate them. If you have great parents, be thankful. If you have good parents, be thankful. If you have just okay parents, be thankful. Because there are a lot of people in this world who have no parents at all. And finally, number four, you can honor them by listening to their advice. I really, here in this fourth point, thinking more about as you get older. Of course, as a young person, you should listen to the advice of your parents as well. But as you get older, as you leave the house, it might be that you don't always take the advice. But at least listen to it. And as parents, let's make sure that we give it in such a way that it can be listened to. One of the things that I've learned in my 43 years on this earth is that my parents got a lot smarter as I got older. You know, at the age of 12 or 13, my parents were idiots. They knew nothing. I mean, they didn't know anything. 16, 17, 18, I didn't know it was possible, but I think they regressed even further. But you know, as I got into my mid-20s, I don't know if they went to school or what happened, but suddenly they got a little bit smarter. And in my 30s and now in my early 40s, they're pretty smart. How is that possible? Well, it's called life. It's called living it. It's called experience. And with that in mind, we need to make sure that we honor our parents. That brings us to our third and final point this morning. A godly child heeds, a godly child honors, and a godly child helps. A godly child helps. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul is writing and he's speaking of Timothy. Now, remember the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. This was a father and son type relationship. No, they weren't a father and son by blood, but that was the type of relationship that they had. And in verse 22 of Philippians 2, Paul says, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." What had Timothy done? He had helped his father in the faith. He had helped Paul. We see a principle in this verse concerning the character of a son with a father. And the principle we carry over to a child with a parent. Paul says he served with me. In other words, he helped me. You know, that's what Jesus was doing on the cross, going back to the beginning of the lesson in John 19. He was making sure that his mother was taken care of. Jesus knew that he wasn't going to be able to help her, but he made sure that there was someone there who could. Children should always be willing to help their parents. I'll give you three areas here, three categories, if you will. We need to help when we're living at home. The dreaded word, you ready? Chores. Those things can help, though, to teach responsibility. Those things help out. You're, as a child, still a member of the household, and so it allows you to contribute to the household. Don't complain. Just do. A third category is we need to help when we're no longer at home. I realize all of us, when we leave home, when we begin our own families, we get busy, we have things going on, we have activities and all of these different things. But when a parent calls and says, "I need your help," do everything that you can to help. If your parents are like my parents, they probably did everything in the world that they could not to call and ask you. And so once they do, make sure that you lend that helping hand. And then finally, number three, help when they are no longer to take care of themselves. Pay attention not just when Jesus commands when you read your Bible, but also when Jesus chastises. There are a lot of good lessons that we can learn when Jesus is actually getting on to someone for something they shouldn't be doing. And we see an example of that in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who have come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?'" So the Pharisees come at Jesus, and this isn't talking about what you and I do before we go eat, where we wash our hands for cleanliness. This was a religious way in which they washed their hands before they ate. There's nothing in the Bible about it. This was not part of the law of Moses. This was instead some of the extra biblical commandments that the Jews had added to God's Word. And so they come to Jesus and they ask him, "Why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands?" Jesus handled it the way we would expect Jesus to handle it. And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" He says, here you are coming to me about this that is found nowhere in the law. This is what you're concerned about. He says, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother shall surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother. thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. He says, you want to talk about your traditions? Here's one of your traditions. You figured out an end around in your mind for getting out of having to help your parents later in life, for taking care of them after they spent their life taking care of you. The Jews would take a poor this section of money, and this section of money right here, this is for my parents, but now it's Corban. It's going to be given to God. And they would either give all of that or portion that to the temple. And of course, around the back doors, a good portion of that was given back to them. Jesus said, you're trying to get out of doing what God has said to do. He chastised them, that those that shirked their responsibilities to take care of their parents. I'm sure you've heard the old joke, parents, be nice to your children because they will choose what nursing home you go to. I joke with my mom all the time, keep playing and see where you go, Mom. Obviously, I'm kidding when I say that, but it's a joke that, though, shows a responsibility that we all have to take care of our parents when they are older. Children have a responsibility. A godly child heeds. A godly child honors. A godly child helps. And we learn that from the life of Jesus. As we stated at the beginning, children have a responsibility to their earthly parents. But most importantly, we all have a responsibility to our Heavenly Father. And friends, these same three things that we have are responsible to our earthly parents, these are the same three things that we owe our Heavenly Father. We are to heed Him. We are to obey His commandments. We are to honor Him and worship in the life that we live. And we are to help in His cause. You can begin doing that this morning by becoming a Christian if you're not one, by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, by turning away from sin, by confessing that belief and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you've done that. You realize this morning that you haven't been living your life as you should. We need to make sure that we're fulfilling our responsibilities, not just to our earthly parents, but also to our Heavenly Father. You need to do that this morning. You need to become a Christian. You need to get back on track. Friend, if you have a need, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.